altering the name of a geographic feature that has stood the test of time purely for political reasons is a waste of our time.
Let's come up with a compromise position that gives Floridians some tax relief right now.
It's not a 1 and 1 equals 2. It's going to be a 1 and 1 can equal about 4.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, the Florida Senate has given final approval to a bill that would change dozens of state laws to carry out President Donald Trump's directive that the Gulf of Mexico should be called the Gulf of America. The Senate also gave a final sign-off to a bill that would require the name change to start being reflected in materials at state agencies and schools. The House already had passed the bills, meaning they're ready to go to Governor Ron DeSantis, who's expected to sign them. Republican Senator Nick DeSegli, who sponsored the bill about changing state laws, calls the name change patriotic.
It recognizes the fact that we are an exceptional country. And quite frankly, I thought this was long overdue.
But Democrat Lori Berman says the change was being made for political reasons. She feels lawmakers should focus on other issues such as property insurance and education.
Altering the name of a geographic feature that has stood the test of time purely for political reasons is a waste of our time.
As an example of the changes that would be made, legal descriptions of boundaries of Gulf Front counties from Escambia to Collier would change to the Gulf of America. Also, it would require that school instructional materials purchased as of July 1st include the Gulf of America name. The Florida House and Governor Ron DeSantis have been fighting over how to bring tax relief to state residents. Tristan Wood reports, now the Senate president has a plan he hopes will strike a compromise.
DeSantis wants the legislature to explore putting an initiative on the ballot in 2026 to eliminate property taxes in the state. House Speaker Daniel Perez wants to reduce the state's sales tax rate by 0.75%. Wednesday night, Senate President Ben Albritton announced his chamber will release a compromise package that includes adding clothes and shoes under $75 to the list of products exempted from sales tax, continuing various sales tax holidays, and commissioning a study to determine the effects of eliminating property taxes.
What Senator Albritton has proposed seems like a reasonable path forward that might be able to get support both from the House and from the governor.
That's University of Central Florida political science professor Aubrey Jewett. He says in a time of economic uncertainty, Albritton's package makes sense.
I think rather than take what he would consider to be a somewhat rash move in terms of either cutting the sales tax permanently by 0.75 cents or cutting property taxes completely or at least somewhat dramatically. His thought is, look, the economy's uncertain, and we have not really studied either of these issues in depth. So why don't we do that? Let's come up with a compromise position that gives Floridians some tax relief right now, but then study these issues for more permanent tax relief, and then we can take them up the next session.
And DeSantis is already signaling he could be on board.
So I think I agree with the president of the Senate, Albritton. If you're going to do sales tax, target it to things that are going to benefit Floridians.
During a press conference Thursday, DeSantis indicated he likes Albritton's package more than Perez's because he thinks reducing sales taxes would benefit vacationers more than residents.
The House's proposal, I've never seen a tax cut that's been proposed that has had more negative feedback from people. Because they're saying, why are you giving breaks to non-Floridians? Why are you doing this? And also to wealthy, to be honest with you, a wealthy buys a yacht, they're gonna save a bunch of money on that. You go to the supermarket, most of which isn't even taxed.
But Orlando Democratic Representative Anna Escamani says she thinks the plan to reduce sales tax is a step in the right direction. She believes it will have a more positive impact on the state's lower-income residents than a property tax cut.
Florida has a very regressive tax structure, partly because we are so reliant on sales tax, and that's not a a left or right concept. It's an economic term that basically means for our Floridians that make less, they pay more of their income to taxation, those that make more.
It's unclear what the final tax relief package will look like, but Albritton's proposed compromise could represent a way forward. I'm Tristan Wood.
The Florida Senate has unanimously passed a measure that would move forward with creating a Florida Museum of Black History in St. Johns County. Lawmakers in 2023 created a task force to provide recommendations for a Black History Museum. The task force recommended putting the museum in St. Johns County. It would go on a site west of St. Augustine that formerly housed Florida Memorial University. The Senate bill would take a series of steps to establish the museum, including creating a board of directors, which would work with a foundation to oversee construction and operation of the museum. State Senator Daryl Roussan says creating the museum is important.
We should all be about history that binds the generations and will teach people for years to come.
However, with less than 4 weeks left in the annual legislative session, the House version of the bill has not moved through committees. Finally tonight, the Florida Senate is committing $50 million of its proposed budget to address food insecurity and help the state's farmers. The money would expand food banks while connecting fresh food grown or produced in-state to those in need. As Margie Menzel reports, the proposal comes as programs on the federal level are facing cuts.
The Senate wants $50 million to go to the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services for grant programs. $12 million of that would help expand food distribution for Floridians who live too far away from the food banks and pantries they need. And $38 million would go to administer a competitive grant program aimed at helping Florida farmers.
We have certain commodities during certain times of the year that we have an abundance of in Florida, and sometimes they're lost because you can't pick them. There's nowhere to go with them, and those farmers take a 100% hit on that product.
Wilton Simpson is Florida's agriculture commissioner. He points to milk as an example. He says if a farmer is supplying K-12 schools, the market is just not there part of the year. Sometimes farmers can move their product at a big discount, and sometimes they have to dump it. But the Senate's grant programs could get that milk to food banks and food pantries.
What we hope it's going to do is it's going to marry up the times that our farmers are with abundance, where we're buying this product at cost at best to the farmer, but then we're going to distribute it through the Feeding Florida system to people that are food insecure. And so what we're doing is we're marrying the two groups, a big help to the farming community with obviously a big help to the food insecure folks. It's not a 1 and 1 equals 2. It's going to be a 1 and 1 is going to equal about 4.
Feeding Florida CEO Robin Safley says the proposed grants could also help expand a partnership between the farmers and the food banks to bring more beef, dairy, and eggs to food insecure Floridians. But in their system, she says, more refrigerators or freezers would be necessary.
The way we work, which is putting food through a partner agency such as a church, a Boys and Girls Club, another not-for-profit that is in partnership with our food banks, that they may need more refrigeration and capacity building. So the other pocket of money that is in the Senate, the $12 million, is for that type of expansion, with a focus on rural Florida.
Meanwhile, in addition to looking at money coming in from the state government to help address food insecurity, Simpson has his eye on funds from the federal government. After the Trump administration cut funding for federal food programs earlier this year, Simpson says he's asking for a $2.5 million block grant that he thinks could help fill the gap. Simpson says he thinks if the money is funneled to the states, they could run the same food programs more efficiently.
So I believe that if the federal government, just like they did with the Department of Education, if they would just shut it down, give us the block grant of the money of about 70 or 80% of what they were spending on the entire R portion of that in a block grant, we will do more good with 80% of the money than they did with all of the money.
It's unclear where the Florida House of Representatives stands on budget items dealing with food insecurity. They didn't respond to requests for comment. I'm Margie Menzel.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol. That show is also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.